All right.
Okay. We will now move on to community comment, which we're slightly a little bit late for. But we'll make up the time if they need the extra time. So we will now, we're now into community comment. Do we have any community comments from any individuals that's here from the community who would like to make some comments or have any questions? Okay. No questions from the community?
Mr. Chair, may I comment that we lost, I think, two members of the public. They couldn't stay with the meeting for whatever reason. So, unfortunately, they can't comment now.
Okay. All right. Okay. With that, we will move on into...
I have my hand up, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead, Kathleen.
All right. So, this is what I want to propose to put in the minutes under this program committee item so that we are crystal clear about what has to happen next. And this is my understanding of what has to happen next. 2 weeks prior to our, what? Can I continue?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. 2 weeks prior to our next board meeting, the board members will receive two documents. One is labeled majority report and one is labeled minority report. Crystal clear exactly for which program committee meeting we're talking about, and that is what we will vote on. What's happening? Okay. So I would like that put in the minutes so we don't waste another 45 minutes on this. People laughing, supposedly we're not getting caught up in things, and then people just not helping this process one bit. So are we clear? Two reports, majority, minority, people get it 2 weeks ahead of time, a vote by majority, up or down. Vanessa, is this the June minutes?
It should be the June report, but okay. All I was given was the minutes, yes.
That's okay, but that's it. It's the June minority report and the June majority report from the program committee. Okay, Chair, am I clear? Is that fine? These are the instructions from this long conversation?
Yes, most of it is fine except for the 2 weeks. I'm going to give the program committee, let them submit it when they do their normal report, which is the Saturday, they had to be in about a Friday before the next LSB meeting. That's when.
Okay.
So they have to submit by then.
Okay. I'm fine, but please put these specific instructions in the minutes so we know exactly. So there's none of this crap that we just wasted so much time on. Really? Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Okay.
Okay.
Point of order, Chair.
Okay, what's your point of order, Vanessa?
Okay, the program committee already submitted the June, whatever they're calling it, the June report.
Okay, but remember, that's going to be a change now. We want, just like Kathleen said, we want the minority report and the regular report. They have to
submit. And they have to resubmit it?
We want them attached together so everybody can look at them and compare them. Some of us might not even have that report now from June. So we asking for them to submit it together with their report that they submitted, and we want your minority report together so everybody can just look at both of the documents, compare them, and decide what they want to do by the time we have the next meeting. And it may be resolved. That's why I'm saying after the next program committee meeting, because y'all may be able to resolve it right then and there before it even gets back to the LSB. So we don't know, but if it doesn't, that's the way we're going to handle it. Okay. Now we can move on to the next, which is unfinished business. Woo, boy, this is the hard one. Okay. We're going back to two things under unfinished business is the member requirement, proposed directives. The second, proposed under the member requirements, item number two. I don't know if you all have it with you all or not, but I will read it.
Of order.
What's the point of order?
There were three agenda items that we skipped.
We skipped three agenda items?
PNB.
Oh, yo, PNB. Oh, I'm sorry. Sure did. P PUDN outreach. Okay. And CSC. You absolutely good. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Point of order, Chair.
Yes.
And I'll just ask to do it the next time. Because an inordinate amount of time has already been spent on program committee issues. I had added to the agenda and it was accepted because I sent it last month. Okay. The mission of the program committee. So let's just talk about it next time.
Okay. Okay. Send me that so I can put it in because I may not remember it by the time we get to the end of this meeting. So send that to me again, Vanessa. Okay. PNB report. Okay, we have a special update by way of Vanessa DB.
No, we don't, because Thomas O'Rourke sent a communication to me by request of a member who contacted him. And so I thought it was appropriate to bring it to the LSB. But in the communications that followed with Thomas, it seems that maybe it's not. I completely defer to Thomas. This was an issue that he raised that I thought, you know, that PNB delegates or directors could benefit from input from the LSB. So, but I defer to Thomas.
Okay. Okay. Thomas, do you have anything you want to say on that one? Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes, I was unmuting. Okay. Yeah, it was it wasn't even my draft, but I spoke to this person, at length. He is a West Coaster, in the LA station region. Long time activist there and, you know, is absolutely mortified at the prospect of New Day, Pacifica's, slates, which, of candidates being, winning without much preparation from, the other side, he had advised me to forward this for discussion with the PNB as a delay of basically 2 weeks to a month, and we opted for a month in the resolution. I did get some feedback back from the chairman of the PNB, Arthur Steinberg, who claims that there's a problem with the resolution that it violates the bylaws, because of the, punctures the veil of security between the PNB and the, National Election Supervisor. That's his interpretation. And moreover, he claims that changing the date of the beginning of the election it's supposed to start, when? August 16th. Am I right in saying that? This, about, you know, less than a week from now, the window for the election will be a 2 month, window and it will start then. As far as I know, you know, very few stations are running any carts of candidates. Now I know we have run some. But my question would be to ask, my questions for the LSB would be to ask, you know, how frequent those are. Have all the LSB candidates been able to record something, and are they in the loop? Because, as I say, based on his testimony and possibly some others, we'll find out in the discussion tomorrow. This isn't happening, at this point in, some of the other stations. So, that was my motivation, and I sent it to my other PNB directors as a way to, make them acquainted with the motion and, possibly solicit their support. This person I know had sent it to several people on his own, but he is not on the PNB. So, after a long discussion yesterday, I agreed to do so.
I'd like to respond to this.
All right, sure.
Ron, you have, but wait a minute, Thomas, were you finished?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Okay, first of all, the elections are run by the National Election Supervisor. The first thing, and I'm just going to be blunt, the first thing that should have been done, if you wanted to pursue this idea of an extension, call the elections supervisor to see if it's possible. Alex Steinberg was correct. The chairman of the board was correct when he said that these dates, you know, these time frames are embedded in the bylaws. You know, these are not just capriciously done by the election supervisor. So, you know, and that question would have been answered real easy, you know, if once again, instead of just listening to an individual out there out west somewhere, you know, that you just contact the National Election Supervisor, ask that question, you know, and we'd have an answer. But I can tell you this, based on track record, you know, we were hoping to get another delay earlier. And the election supervisor, you know, just told us quite frankly that, in fact, the debate schedule that they had put together. Well, once again, that stuff is all embedded in the bylaws, you know, and, you know, so that, you know, she doesn't have a choice. The election supervisor doesn't have a choice, you know, in terms of these dates, you know, or not much choice anyway. The election is not over until October 15th. You know, so there's plenty of opportunity for people to get their acts together, you know, to vote. And as far as New Day being organized, yes, they are. And they've been, like I say, they've been doing this for the past 4 years, you know, so don't be surprised about that. And that's all I wanted to say. You know, the election is going along. You know, everybody's adhering to the protocols. Yes, the cards are being played. They're being played nationally. They're being played locally. Just because you don't hear it don't mean it ain't being played, okay? And the election supervisor is also coordinating that. That's not something that, you know, program directors determine. That's something that the election supervisor determines, how those cards are to be run and how often they are to be run. So I just wish you had, you know, come to us and ask these questions before, Thomas, and you know, we could have gotten some answers to these.
May I respond?
Okay. Well, Kathleen,
I'll join the stock. That's fine.
Okay, Kathleen, you were next.
Yes, this may not be the right place for it. Several weeks ago, I sent out a question to everyone, but probably specifically to Ellen, at least, and perhaps you, Arthur, where I sort of identified how many open seats we had, which was 12, my understanding, because several current board members, such as Ron, for example, his term expires, and there are a few others that I can't remember right now. And so my question was, are four current board members running again? And no one has answered me this, and the list of candidates that we're referring to on the Pacifica website are these new folks. So this may not be the right.
Okay. No, I can answer that real quick.
Let her finish. Please, y'all stop interrupting each other. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Okay, so I just asked if we've got if it's either four or six of our existing members are running again, since there are, to my understanding, 12 open seats, which is half of the LSP. So if Ron, if you know who the current LSB members who are running again, that my understanding that includes you, that your term is expiring, that would be great. Thank you.
All right. Just real quick.
Please.
If any current board member wants to run again, they have to repetition. They have to do exactly what the new candidates have to do. If their names are not on that list, they're not running.
Okay. May I speak, please? So the names whose terms are expiring, and I sent this to everyone with a question. Eileen, Lewis, Martha,
Let me finish, please.
My question is it correct that Eileen, Lewis, Martha, Sabu, and Ron, that your terms expire this year? so that your seat is open, so that there are 12 open seats. That's the answer to my question. So, Ron, are you running again or not?
No, I'm not. I can't because my term expires. That's what term expires means. You can't run.
No, you can run twice in a row. You can run twice in a row.
No. Termed out means you cannot run again.
Why didn't someone answer my question is what I want to know.
I don't know, Kathleen.
Why didn't someone tell me? Okay, please.
That's the secretary has all of that information.
All right, so Eileen, Lewis, Martha, and Sabu, all of these people are termed out? No.
Okay, can I answer?
Yes.
I don't know why Julie's
hand is up also, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I got it, but I'm going to let Ellen answer the question and then I'll bring it. Okay, thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Ellen.
Okay, I sent all the information to the officer. I sent to the members and those who had a question, they contacted me. I sent and let you know that you ask about Kathleen when your term was over.
No, I'm not asking about Ellen, I'm not asking about me. Okay, please, to keep this short, I listed the five people that I was curious about. That's it. You don't have to talk about anything else. So is Eileen, Lewis, Martha, and Sabu, are they termed out?
But why are you worried about them? But anyway.
Because there's 12 open seats. If people
well, it's
are
already been taken care of. Okay, let me just tell you this. You came on later on the board, and what happened was 2018, there were several people that were running, and they decided that there wasn't anybody else, so they were put on the board. Then they had another election when you ran, there were people that ran. And there, they end in 2022. Lewis Wolf, because of the time he came on, and he did not run again in 2019. And Sabu did not run again in 2019.
Ellen, I don't need an explanation. All I want to know is no. I'm sorry. That's all.
It's not. Then I gave you the explanation. All right.
All I know is Eileen, I saw her shaking her head. Are you termed out?
No. Okay. According to what they decided to do about she and Martha are not.
I sent
all this information.
Okay. Hold it right here.
Okay.
Kathleen, Ellen sent that information out. That's why I hadn't answered it. I thought she was going to tell you that she had sent it on.
The information that she sent out, I did not understand. That's why I redid it, okay? But I guess I must be the only one who didn't understand, so I'll stop.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathleen. Okay. At least you being nice about it. Thank you.
Okay.
And if you need more explanation, I will do it after the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Julie, go ahead.
I just wanted to add a little bit to the PMB report in the sense of, to the extent that people are worried about New Day being organized and trying to get people to run, there are people who are not New Day who are organized and trying to get people to run. So, I just suggest that we do something, in terms of getting carts out there, et cetera, or having on-air debate so that we can, better serve our listeners in terms of people having a sense of who's New Day and who's not or who's unaffiliated or affiliated with some other group. But then I just wanted to share one thing because last night in the National Finance Committee meeting, they share the finances of all of Pacifica, and we go through them. And the folks at KPFA in Berkeley are not always, kind of our biggest fans. But one of the directors from KPFA said about the WPFW financials when we got to it. He said, this is the most pleasing of the station reports. Shows growth in the right places. And I just want to say that, like, you know, kudos to, I mean, I wish Jerry and Katia were here so that they could hear this, but maybe I'll shoot this to them in email, but, you know, kudos to them for, you know, managing the station well, and to the programmers for doing a good job, because I think that's one reason why our finances are, you know, relatively speaking, in much better shape than many of the other stations are right now. So I just wanted everybody to know about that. Thanks.
Okay. Thomas O'Rourke.
Where am I? Trying to see my, oh. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Come on.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. I appreciate, I appreciate your points, Ron. I did send this to you and Vanessa and Julie. None of you responded to me, but Vanessa forwarded it to the LSB. That wasn't my intent, and I said so. I would point one thing out, there is a bylaw, that says, the PMB is to oversee and certify the fairness of the delegates' elections. And a weakness of the PMB letting the national election supervisor, I realize that they're paid to do this, et cetera, but whether they have the power and the ability to ensure fairness in regard to all aspects of the election process is subject to question. And I was simply trying to get these issues out, open for discussion. I realize there are other people that know more about it than I do and, are more, involved in the election itself. So, it wasn't a point of, overstepping, I don't believe, since it wasn't my point to bring it up to the PN, to this LSB. And I thought I made that clear in my emails, but thank you.
Point of personal privilege, please.
Okay, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, I just want to correct Thomas. I didn't send it to the LSB. I sent it to Arthur. And then I CC'd the PNB directors. Arthur evidently didn't, you know, have an opportunity to read my response when I said, evidently, this was not what you intended. I was trying to help, but evidently, this was not what you intended. So I was retracting. I was withdrawing myself from the issue. But in the interim, he had already placed the item on the agenda. Right. So I just want you to know it was not sent to the LSB. It was sent to Arthur.
Okay. Thank you. Alan, you still have your hand up?
Vanessa was muted on that remark. I didn't hear much of it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I be recognized?
Is that – oh, somebody else has their hand up. Oh, she got it. Okay.
Can I be recognized?
Yes, you can. Go ahead, Ron.
Just something Thomas said about the election, about the PMB being weak in terms of enforcing or managing the fairness of the election process. You know, I'm going to share this with you, all of you. That election supervisor had to withstand a whole bunch of pressure from throughout this network to ensure a fair process for that referendum and, you know, for this election. You don't want 16, you know, you don't want five different LSBs involved in the electoral process. You know, for a variety of reasons, you can only imagine. The PMB took on that responsibility by appointing, and that's what the bylaws allow, appointing someone, a group to manage the electoral process. And that's worked. You know, so, let's not throw aspersions on, a very, very small staff, for handling this. You have no evidence of that, you know, so you can just please stop dropping bombs. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. We're going to move on to the outreach and development report.
Okay. Lou Wolf, excuse me, Lou Wolf has his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lou Wolf. I'm sorry, Lou. I didn't see it. Go ahead, Lou.
Last night in the local finance committee meeting, Jerry Parris said that he had received an urgent email from the National Election Supervisor, Renee Pignolosa, requesting a series of 10 minute, carts. I believe that's what he said. 10 minute carts, on the election. Mm-hmm. Now he was unclear because he was involved in a lot of stuff at the station and so forth, but I'll just say, he said, I rejected it. I told her no, because we're in the middle of our fund drive, he said to her. And so I don't know. And so he said, we will do 3 minute carts instead of 10 minute carts. I'm just reporting this to you tonight. Okay. Secondly, Ron mentioned earlier about during the debates about the referendum on New Day Pacifica. I'll be very clear. I was a no vote, absolutely no vote. I'm part of Pacifica Fight Back. We want to stop these people who want to take over our network. In fact, they are four people. Once they win, and they've lost twice, 2 years in a row, by overwhelming numbers, once they win, if you examine their agenda, which is online, four people will run the network.
Right.
Yes, they will have Pacifica National Board to contend with, but basically they will be in charge. And so they want to take down two stations, WBAI in New York and WPFW in Washington. Why? Because we are majority listeners of people of color. And that's what their agenda is. Okay. So I think we have to be clear. The New Day Pacifica wants to destroy our network. I'm sorry if anyone is offended by that, but that's what it's about. Thank you.
Okay. Thomas, this got to be fast. I'm going to call on you, but you got 1 minute and I'm going to be on my own.
Thank you. I don't know where Ron heard me casting aspersions at the National Election Supervisor. I was not. I was simply saying that this motion basically says the PNB cannot shirk responsibility by handing it off to her when she is structurally not have the power to do certain things. It's one interpretation. And you could make that.
I'm just saying. Do not interrupt while Thomas is talking. If you interrupt one more time, Ron Pinchback, I'm going to have you muted if you interrupt somebody else. This is the fourth time I've had to tell you not to interrupt somebody while they're talking. Go ahead, Thomas.
And the other thing is, this person, was adamant and, you know, obviously it's just, I'm passing this on. He claimed the real agenda on the real first item on their agenda will be to sell BAI's license. And they believe, it can fetch anywhere from 30 to 50 million, which would be establish a trust fund for them to then, you know, expand or whatever. It very well could fetch a whole lot more than that. But and obviously I have no proof. I have no proof for that. And this NDP will never admit it until they're ensconced. So it's hard to say, but that's what a lot of people are saying. All right. Thank you.
That's it. Okay. We're now moving on to the outreach and development report.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. I sent the report out to everybody. Hopefully got a chance to read it. I wanted to thank Gary Katia. They aren't here, but I want to thank them anyway. Ron, Asiya, Arthur, and Sabu for participating in the town hall. I think it went well, although I only saw 19 participants. And of those 19, six of them were local station board and management people. So I don't know why we had four attendants, but it went well. We got the word out about 2.5 weeks before the town hall was held, but it went well regardless of how many were there. The WPFW 5K is going to be held on September 18th at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park. It's a beautiful park with a lake. We're under the pavilion. It's very large. We have enough space to social distance. We're going to arrange the chairs and the tables so that everyone can be far apart or just as close as you want to be to somebody, making sure you're safe. masks are not required, but they are recommended. We're going to have, if people don't want to participate in the 5K, we're going to have classes, yoga, tai chi, meditation, and we may have a Zumba class. So it's going to be a morning of exercise. And the title of the 5K is Walking Back to Life. That's our chair's idea, his suggestion, Walking Back to Life, because we're getting back out to exercise after being locked down for so many months. So it's $45, and there's a T-shirt included. Vinny's going to post this picture of the T-shirt up pretty soon. It's a nice T-shirt, and I'm asking everyone if they could at least buy one ticket. Last night, we were off the air for a while. There are some problems, and hopefully, you know, we get enough people that'll help to kind of make up for us not having a few hours of WCFW last night to pick for the pledge drive. But if each of you could please make a contribution to the 5K to make it happen. It's going to be nice with free food, cereal bars, fruit, water. It's going to have music. It's going to be very nice if you all could please participate. The park is only allowing us to have 75 people. And of those 75, only 60 will be able to run or have classes, because the rest of them will be WPFW personnel and the runners and, no, the timers and the timers and the stars. Okay, that's it. Any questions?
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, I would ask Martha to speak to the issue of Jerome, who is this wonderful man who has offered to give us money, to raise money for us. He has a company called Development Associates, and he has offered repeatedly over now almost 2 years now. He himself fished into his pocket and gave, I think it's $10,000 to the station. And he's not asking for a job. In fact, he says, I don't want a penny, but I want to help WPFW. I love this station. He's loved it since the very beginning, and he loves jazz and justice. So Martha has asked, and I have asked, for Jerry to please sit down with Jerome, which he has said on numerous occasions, I will do that. And it still hasn't happened.
Nick called Jerome. They're in touch with each other. Nick Arena called Jerome. They're in touch.
Okay, that's progress.
Okay. Martha, I just wanted to tell you, I didn't get back to you earlier, but I told you if I did not let you know in the meeting that, James Funk and Dr. Nick have agreed to let you all have spots on their shows.
Okay.
And they told me to give you their phone numbers. You can call them, and then they will make the arrangements of when you're supposed to call in or whoever's supposed to call in, and they'll give you 5 to 10 minutes to talk about the 5K walk.
Okay.
And but both of them really suggested that you should do it 2 weeks before. I kind of agree with that, but this is almost, what is it, 4 weeks now?
Yeah, a little over 4 weeks.
So they're talking about doing it next, either the Saturday after this one or this Saturday. But y'all can work that out. What I'm going to do is email you their phone number so you can call them. And I've also called Bill Wax too, but I haven't heard back from them. So I may be, you know, Bill Wax may be another one, because I think it's very important to get it done on them Saturday shows since they're so popular.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And also, LSB members, please tell your family and your friends. It's going to be a nice affair. Please encourage other people to participate and contribute.
Okay, and I got one more question too. Is it my understanding that only 75 people are allowed to participate outside of the staff members and the LSB?
No, only 60, only 75 people altogether. So that includes, because I asked the management at the park, they said that includes management, the race timers, et cetera, volunteers too.
Okay.
They're being very cautious.
Okay. All right. Any more questions for the outreach and development? Okay, we will move right on to the seat. Ooh, Communication Standards and Enforcement Committee. Dennis?
Yeah, so I sent out the report. It's pretty straightforward. I think it's like 5 bullet points, basically saying we still need to do better. Some of the concerns we raised have been on display again this evening. People talking over each other, people not waiting to be recognized or calling out to be recognized, and people sort of addressing people instead of the issues at hand. And those are the basic, those are the basic issues, and that was the gist of the report.
Okay. Any questions for the CSE?
Chair, the Vanessa asked to be recognized.
Okay, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so make sure I have this one right. Dennis, this is the one that you sent out in June, and it has, are you now talking about the recommendations in terms of point of personal privilege and Zoom hand raising? Are you discussing that, or are you just talking about observations of the LSB?
I'm talking about the report I submitted last week for this meeting.
Okay, I saw the one in July. Okay, so let me ask you this. At what point will you be talking about the email that you sent from CSE making recommendations with regard to point of personal privilege and Zoom hand raising?
I guess that was, we did not have a report for the August meeting, so I'm assuming you're talking about the report from the July meeting.
Right, and so I presume that those need to be voted on by the body?
No.
No?
No.
So the CSE is what
they're not,
just...
They're not motions, they're recommendations for handling. If there were motions, they would be presented in the form of a motion.
Okay, so we've previously voted on recommendations by the CSE.
That was for establishing the rules, and those were presented in the form of a motion.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand. The email with regard to point of personal privilege and Zoom hand raising, those are recommendations and not to be voted on, just recommendations.
It wasn't an email, it was a report, and yes, that's correct.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay, Martha?
In regards to what Dennis has said about the CSE report, I appreciate those rules, I really do. We need them. But some of us are still not following them. You know, some of us are talking out of turn. We're talking over each other. And it's just got to stop. You know, everybody wants to come to a peaceful meeting. At least I know quite a few people do. And I wish it could be like that. If everybody followed the CSE rules, then we wouldn't have the problem that we're having. That's just a comment.
Okay.
Ron, just that.
Okay, Ron, and then Dennis, that'll be the last of that. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Okay, I just want to apologize to my board members for talking out of turn and, being a knucklehead tonight. Those rules are there and they should be enforced. And I apologize to my board members for my behavior tonight. And that's all. You know, I appreciate the understanding and the patience, and we should all, show more patience, including myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron.
We appreciate that, sir. Okay, Dennis, this last.
Yeah, since it was raised, I just want to clarify the point about the point that we made, and I thought explained in that report about point of personal privilege, is that it's based on my own research and input from the parliamentarian, is that we haven't always used it correctly, that it is not that point of personal privilege is not something that allows you to interrupt and move ahead in line like a point of order. If you have a point of privilege, you still have to go on the stack and wait your turn. It's not something that can be used to interrupt, to respond to something, to respond to a comment that was made in the debate. It's something that has to wait its own turn.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Okay. All right. Next is the chairman's report. I'm going to cut my report real short. But I must mention about the tardiness. I'm requesting that LSB members stop their accounts of tardiness unless there are extenuating circumstances, because we can't begin a profitable meeting until quorum is reached. And sometimes we have to wait till quorum is reached before we start the meeting. And if we started as late as 6:40, the meeting is only once a month. There should be no excuse for us to be tardy
for a meeting that's only once a month, but it's been happening. And I'm not going to point out no fingers, but you know who you are. We got some people coming in at 7, 7:30, as late as 8 o'clock. That needs to really, really stop, because we don't want to have to go back to Dennis Williams and the CSC to put up another another rule about tardiness. And everybody always say, these rules, golly, it's too many rules. Well, okay, well, let's act like adults, and then we don't have to have all of these rules. But if that continues us being tardy and you slowing the meetings down unnecessarily because you're late, you know, once a month and you're late, and I put on there, please be prompt. Now, I can understand sometimes it takes a while to get everybody in when we're going in, but that shouldn't take no more than 5 minutes. I'm talking about the people that's coming in at, you know, close to 7 and after. That's really crazy. So I'm just asking you all to please be prompt so we can begin our meetings in a more timely fashion. Okay, and I wanted to request, even though the management didn't do a report, I just wanted to request that we LSB members, we need to be more participatory in the radio station activities. You know, the programmers, as you all, a couple of people have mentioned, and I thank you for that, because I am a programmer too, and we appreciate you know, you all acknowledging us for doing what we do to try to keep the finances at the station flowing. But we do need some assistance, especially doing a pledge drive with people, pitching. I mean, Katia's asked for it, Jerry has asked for it, and now I'm asking for it too. LSB members, to become pitch partners. If you want to be a pitch partner and you might be a little scared to talk on the air, trust me, Katia and we'll make arrangements to give you special training from, you know, some of our experts that we have in regards to pitching. But we need your help to even pitch. And then we have an LSB show. This is the LSB. We don't have people not even pledging to our own show. Then I can't tell you what to do with your money. You're pledging to other shows, but it seems like you would spread the wealth if you're going to donate to another show or your favorite show. You know, if you donate $20, at least do $5 or $10 to the LSB show, and then donate whatever you're doing with the other show. Share the wealth, because that's also a report card for those shows. And if you, with the LSB, we need to at least, support the LSB show. We got 18 members, and the goal was $500. And I can only recall two or three people donating to the last LSB show. And those two or three people that donated between $50 and $100. If we got 18 people, if we got 18 people that don't do nothing but donate $10, that's $180 right there. That's almost half the goal. But we're not even looking out for ourselves. We should be a bit more participatory in the LSB activities. And I hope you will start out by, well, this pledge drive is almost over now, but whenever we have one, support your LSB show. You're an LSB member. Support the other shows with the programmers that's on the LSB. We got about 4 programmers that's on your board, that's part of your membership. They don't even support them. We got Martha, even though she's not a programmer, she's running the outreach and development committee. She's running fundraisers and need our assistance as well. But we're not that participatory. We only have, out of 18 people, we might have 2 or 3 to do something. We need to be more focused and do some more actions to make the LSB shine and stand out and do what we're supposed to be doing. And that's all I'm going to say on that. We're going to get to action items and agreements. Okay. That's going to be not me.
Okay.
I wasn't finished. I'm going to get Martha.
Okay.
When we get to at the end of the agenda, we have action items and agreements, and they are to be documented in the minutes for review and upkeep of records of LSB accomplishments and complete and incomplete actions, so we can keep up with what we're doing, what we're supposed to be doing, and start becoming a board to be reckoned with. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Martha.
Yeah. Arthur, Katia sent a message to the LSB asking if there were any people who were interested in pitching for the pledge drive. Some people responded, but she never got back to them.
She said,
Some information on how to pitch, but we never heard from them.
Okay.
Well, okay. Well, I kind of understand that, and I appreciate those people that's doing it. And I understand Katia's under a lot of strain now, dealing with her own issues, and then her father just passed. She was taking care of him, doing his last time, even though she's not in the condition, but that's her father. So she was trying to hang in there and do what she could for him too in his last days. Okay. So I can understand her not responding as appropriately as she would, as she normally would. So,
But if
people that's doing that, if since Katia's really unavailable, then they need to send an email to Vinny. Vinny Jack. Send something to his email and he'll point them in the right direction so they can learn if they want to learn how to pitch or if they just already know and want to pitch, Vinny is the one to contact.
Okay.
Excuse me, could you put Vinny's email in the chat? Please.
I don't have it with me right now, but what I'll do, I'll send an email to everybody.
Thank you.
Cause I don't have it with me right now. Yeah. Okay. Any questions from the chairman's report? Okay. We're going to move on to, unfinished business. And I think because of the time. Okay. Yes. Almost 8:50. Okay. Because of the time, unless, I'll allow Thomas O'Rourke that, I don't know if I'm going to ask Thomas, do you want to bypass yours too? Because we were supposed to discuss the draft PBR, but you got some things you want to say. We're going to go ahead and let you have that time. I'll move mine to the next meeting, the member requirement, directives. Thomas?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot more to add. I did find, let's see. The questions that were asked, regarding the PBR from, Ms. Malloy, what happened to the original? As I, said earlier, and I did respond, that last month, the original, had been sent out many times. If she wants to compare it, I apologize. I sort of, when I answered it, I intended to send out the old one, and I apologize for not doing that. I know how people, like to have it sent again when they can't find their bottomless email inboxes. I know the feeling myself. The second question, whose time will be compromised? How will this be done? We need to pay, do we need a paid staffer to administer? Well, that is a good question. It does call for some standard procedures. And it justifies these standardized procedures by, you know, the fact that it's, the programmers, you know, that it, these would be rights that would accrue to them. Most of the standards and procedures are fairly, you know, minimal in term and shouldn't be, terribly taxing, but there is, a call for, programmers to be evaluated in a semi-regular basis. I don't know how much that is being done. In short discussions with a small number of programmers, they are unaware of that. So I don't know that it's being done very often. And then the third question, but obviously there might be, in response to that second question, in terms of the obvious need for additional staff or additional time from management, it's, you know, when these kinds of things aren't done, then the station suffers, and I think the programmers suffer by not having some regular input. The third question was, do other stations have this set of PBRs? As I said earlier, all paid staff are subject to union contracts in Pacifica for all the stations. The issue is the unpaid. I know for a fact in Houston there is no programmer bill of rights. There, as I said, there was one implemented in New York. I don't know that it's very strong or is being followed very closely. I don't know for certain about Los Angeles or Berkeley. There's a lot more paid staff relative to the unpaid programmers in those stations, but it's still obviously a considerably smaller number of people than the people that do it for volunteer. I hope people had a chance to read it. We certainly would be prepared to offer a motion next month that the LSB would take it up and ask it to be distributed to via management networks, Vinnie Jack and the program directors networks, distributed to all programmers and see what they think as well. That would be one way to step forward with this, and I hope that's what this board would approve. But as I say, I'm not today prepared to offer that motion, but we'll shortly.
Okay, thank you very much.
We'll, of course, discuss it at the program committee the next meeting. So to get further support for that. Okay.
Kathleen has her hand up. Kathleen?
Yes, thank you. So I have two pieces. Number one, did I misunderstand at our last meeting that there was a discussion of a process of exchanging comments in writing, in emails, about people's thoughts on the programmer's Bill of Rights? Then I have some more questions that I'm not really interested in the answers tonight from one person. But for example, there's a suggestion that this is going to benefit the station by evaluating programmers, but I would wonder what's the evidence for that? And not just from one person, but from others. We've heard the comments about when training is offered, multiple trainings offered for fundraising, and almost no programmers participate. And that's fine. But I'm just saying, what's the evidence that somehow this is going to make the station better? So yes, maybe the programmers ought to have X, Y, or Z, but the primary concern for us is the station and the station's health and well-being. And I remain unconvinced, obviously, how this is going to improve the station. We don't have the luxury of, having a lot of perks for programmers. And that's obvious given our short staffness. So there's a lot of I don't knows about other stations, and that's fine too. But all I'm saying is, for me, nothing is being said to me, told to me concretely how this increase of rights and whatever else to the programmers is somehow going to benefit the station. And the station's doing extremely well right now. It would appear to me that most programmers, they're volunteers. They're obviously, just about all of them must be doing a fabulous job as evidenced by our fundraising and our standing in the ratings. So, and again, I want this in writing and the basis, the reason, the logic. Again, not just one person sort of presenting kind of opinions in the meeting. So I'm hopeful that before next meeting, and I'll send out my questions in writing so that everyone can look at them, and in particular the people proposing this programmer's Bill of Rights, specifically what makes them think that this is going to help the station. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me say this, and Thomas O'Rourke, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do recall that Thomas O'Rourke sent out the draft PB program Bill of Rights and requested that anybody to give their feedback on anything that they saw in there or ask questions or, you know, if they thought the language was not right, they put in what they thought would be better. But I don't know if he got any responses or not, but that would be the way you would address your concerns, Kathleen, and anybody else that want to address their concerns. Is that correct, Thomas?
Yes, it is. And I would add that that Craig Hall informed me that he sent it out to a few programmers that he had, established over time, contact with and has not received much in the way of response, if anything at all. However, if this was done as a station or an LSV initiative, I'm sure it might get a better response than that, especially if programmers think of this as something that's potentially real and not just a pie in the sky wish list.
Right.
So, as I said, I think one of the next steps would be to forward it to all programmers and solicit their input. I have not done that. I sent it only to the LSB. And as I said, one member of the PC sent it to a few programmers, but got little response. So that's where we stand.
Okay.